Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 651 for what would have been the comics originally coming out on January 29th, 2020, except we're recording this early, so we're actually going to take a step back for this week and the next two and take a deep dive into just our general thoughts on DC this week. Next week we'll do Marvel, and the following week we'll do the other comics, and just talk about kind of what we're getting and why and stuff like that. Now, for me, James, I don't know about you, but my DC reading has shrunk massively over the last, really, probably 2 years.
Mine shrunk quite a bit as well. I was never completely all in just because I didn't know some of the characters and stuff like that, and I didn't know the writers, and so I just... But I would jump onto certain things when you would toss them out there as, hey, let's review this, and if I liked it, I'd just jump on board then.
That makes sense. For me, I was pretty much all in, not 100%, but certainly on the DC Universe side of things. I was usually not all in on the Vertigo or Vertigo-ish sort of titles.
Yeah.
So what I did prepping for this episode is I went through what I've got on order, and I broke my list into kind of three categories.
Okay.
And I used a kind of a stoplight metaphor for it. So I've got green, which is anything that I'm continue getting. It's got a firm spot on my pull list. I'm good with these titles.
Okay.
Then I've got kind of that yellow, that caution of, you know, I'm getting them, but I'm not sure if I'm going to keep getting them. That's not to say I'm going to immediately drop them, but you know, these are the ones I take a closer look at the solicits. And it's like, do I really want to get these or not? And they're on the fence.
Makes sense.
And then the last category, and I want to fully explain this one, it's the red. These are things that are stopping. Now, there are two reasons they could stop.
Okay.
One, they're just a finite series or a one-shot, and they're going to end at some point. And two, they're things I'm dropping.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, most of them for the DC section are not things that I'm dropping, although there are two items on the list that way. But there are so many of these things that are either one-shots or a finite series that I wound up with more items in this category than I wound up on the they're firmly on my pull list category.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
And I was surprised by that because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, you know, hardcore DC fan at heart, but DC's just not cutting it for me these days.
Yeah, it's kind of the state of things. We've done that with our reviews lately. You haven't been the happiest, and I haven't been happy with a lot of their output either.
Yeah, yeah. And it used to be, I mean, part of it was back when I was all in. I was getting, you know, around 50 comics a week. Now I'm getting around 20. So,
big difference.
Oh, huge difference, huge difference. It's much easier to get through my reading. But when I filter down my list of what I've got on order, because I take the stuff out of the Cowabunga order form and put it into another Excel file just so I can have all the stuff that I've ordered. In this case, I've got stuff from October, November, December. Haven't gotten around to the January stuff yet. And there's probably a few things that are straggling from past months just because, well, they're late. Although in DC, there's really not too much of that.
Yeah.
But I was able to filter it down and fit it all on one screen. Now, in full disclosure, I've got a 4K monitor, so it's a big screen. But my eyes are failing, so I've got it to 120% on Excel, but I've got room left over. And it used to be there was no way I could do that.
Yeah, you were buying everything. You literally just bought the bundle every month.
Yeah, the bundles and couple of things that weren't included in a few of the bundles. But yeah, if it was a DC thing, it's like, yeah, it's mainstream DC. Yep, I'm getting it. So it was easier to fill out my order back then.
Yeah, definitely. Now, just so you know, I did my list a little bit different.
Okay.
I can tell you what I'm actually getting. Me, I kind of was like looking at it as like what makes me jump onto things and what makes me buy things from DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of broke it down are what are the writers that I follow? Because I tend to follow writers. And if they're on the book, I'm usually reading it. And then there's certain books that I feel like you should or have to be reading because they're kind of the core of DC and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally put a name of people that I keep away from. If I see their name on it, it really has to be something I want or I'm not going
to
read it.
That makes sense. That's a good way to do it. I am frankly too lazy to keep track of all the creators because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But there are a couple where, you know, hey, if this guy is doing it, they get the benefit of the doubt, if there is any doubt. And there are others, you know, otherwise I would have gotten it, but this guy is doing it, and I just don't like their writing or their art.
Yeah, but I did pull up my order form, so I can kind of see what I've been buying, at least on the December order form.
Cool, cool. So for me, in the category of stuff that I'm definitely getting, although there's one here that may move into the yellow, it comes down to, in alphabetical order, Action Comics, Batman, Batman Superman, Detective Comics, Flash, Hawkman, Justice League, Legion of Superheroes, Nightwing, Shazam, Supergirl, Superman, and Young Justice.
Okay, and I'm getting all of those.
And Detective Comics is one that I may reconsider, as is, frankly, Supergirl and Shazam with that 13th solicit, because the Shazam had a 12-issue arc to begin with.
Well, I take that back. I'm not getting Supergirl. That's the one I'm not getting.
Yeah, I can understand that. There are some of these that I'm liking. I'm just not liking enough that I feel they've got to. I got to keep getting them.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, you want me to give you how I break it down for my writers?
Sure.
What I do? Okay, what I did is my number one writer that I put on there, you know, they're not really in order, but it's someone that I think is writing the best, is Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Usually most everything he writes, I really enjoy it. It resonates with me. Number two, just because sense of humor and things that he's done in the past, Mark Russell, I really like the stuff that he does at DC. Then I have Tom Taylor, usually knocks it out of the park. Robert Venditti. And then I kind of shared a spot for my last slot was like a Scott Snyder, Dan Abnett. They're kind of both really good. So any of those writers, I'm usually going to buy it and give them the benefit of the doubt.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. And so, but it's interesting that you said you're buying Justice League, but not the Dark or the Odyssey.
I got off those early on.
Okay, I literally on this order form just dropped Dark because I've been buying it, and I was sitting there and I'm like, I keep reading it because I think Justice League is such a core book, but the Dark and the Odyssey are way less core, I think, to the DCU. Well, and the Dark, it's just all magic, and I'm like, I just haven't been enjoying it.
In my mind, they've got Justice League in the title, but they're not Justice League books in terms of the nature of the property.
Very true. Yeah, very true. The Odyssey got a little bit better when they put Abnett on it. It tied more into what Snyder was doing, but even then, it just feels separated.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was trying to remember even who the characters are. It was Cyborg, Starfire, one of the Green Lanterns, Jessica Cruz, maybe?
Yeah, Jessica Cruz. She's in there. She's a very big part of it now. That's the only place you see her.
And was there a fourth member of the team?
I can't even remember. That's wonderful. I can't remember who's in it now.
It's funny because I would attribute that more to a Teen Titans or New Teen Titans-ish lineup, since really two of them, Starfire and Cyborg, are you know, New Teen Titans at the core from the Wolfman Perez era. They were created for that book. And then, man, if you were to swap out Jessica Cruz for Kyle Rayner, who was a Titan at one point, it's all Titans.
So literally, they're just sticking Justice League on the book for sales.
I think so.
Yeah, so I feel justified now in dropping Justice League Dark this month because I'm like I'm not enjoying it. Odyssey is okay, but it's kind of in that yellow range for me.
Yeah, but I mean, Dark is basically a rebranded version of either Shadow Pack or, man, I'm trying to think what one or two of the other names they used for their magical group over the years.
Yeah, it's where you get Zatanna and Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman and Zatanna are core Justice Leaguers. I can buy into that. But once you start getting Detective Chimp. I'm trying to think who else is in that title.
That's the weird thing is I can't remember, and I've been reading it.
A lot of the other supernatural characters, and I'm not sure that they're in the book, but I would that I could see being in that kind of a book, but aren't Justice Leaguers, would be the Demon, Frankenstein, either Ragman or Deadman or Spectre, although he was a Justice Society member at one point. There are a lot of ones that are legit magic users, but to me, the Justice League is a superhero team, not a sorcerer team.
Yeah, so I'm seeing those ancillary books as something I really don't need to read, and so that's where I've gotten to the point where I literally just dropped off Dark, and I put Odyssey into that maybe type of category, and it's only because Abnett's writing it that I continue to get it.
Well, and Abnett's a solid writer, so I can totally see that. For me, where they start to go astray on some of these books is when they cease to be what I think the title is at its core. Like we just talked with the Justice League stuff. That's where I'm starting to have problems with Detective Comics. Is it's a Gotham-based team with Batman family characters, and Batman shows up periodically. And it's funny because I really liked the run that they had done a couple of years back that had Batwoman, Clayface, Robin, and that group. Whereas this is almost more of an outsider's kind of a riff, and I'm not loving the writing and the art as much.
Yeah, very true. Now something I noticed that what I don't think was on your list, Wonder Woman's not on there.
That fell into the yellow category.
Yellow, okay, gotcha. And then the other one is the, is Teen Titans in there or no?
Teen Titans is in the yellow category.
Okay, I was just making sure because I couldn't remember them all. Okay, all right. You want to jump into your yellow books?
Yeah, I've got four titles in here that are firmly in this, with the caveat that Detective Comics, Shazam, and Supergirl could move into this category.
Okay.
But the four that are definitely in here are Red Hood, Outlaw, Teen Titans, Terrifics, and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And Wonder Woman, I've been getting forever and a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the full run from at least 300 forward, and it's at about 750 now.
Yeah, I've been getting it out of habit, but it was when, I can't remember her name, the writer who was on Ms. Marvel who took over.
G. Willow
Wilson. When she took it over, I really disliked Wonder Woman. It got really into the fantasy or mythology side of it, and it just became, to me, just super boring. And now Steve Orlando took over, I think it is, and it's still just not resonating with me that much. And so that's one of the ones that's on my almost chopping block, and yet I'm still getting it right now.
Yeah, that's exactly where it's at for me. It's one of those that, man, if they've got a really bad story arc coming up, that may be enough to get me off the book. And again, this is one that I have been getting off the rack literally for decades.
Wow.
And it's one of those things that when they treat Wonder Woman as a superhero, I enjoy that. When they go for the mythology bent, which is a legit take.
Yeah, it is.
It's harder for me to connect to the material.
Yeah, and I would say mythology can be done well.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes the correct writer to do it. And G. Willow, nothing wrong with her, but when you put her on the right book for her, it's amazing. I've read some stuff by her that she's written really well, but her Wonder Woman take was just atrocious to me. I just couldn't read it.
For me, the stuff of late in Wonder Woman has just been a little boring. And part of it is the modern storytelling style of writing for the trade.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard for me to really get invested in a story when I'm getting, you know, one of six chapters a month, and I get maybe two stories over the course of the year. And it's like, it's been 4 or 5 weeks since I've read the last installment. Where did it leave off, and why should I care?
Yeah, when I get 2 years or one year to get two chapters of a story, it's really tough. It feels like the story's not really progressing. And the thing with me, okay, I know we go back and forth on this. I like what Bendis is doing at DC when I just read his Legion book.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what he's done, and I've seen it in action and some other things, and he did it with Event Leviathan. He basically puts a recap in there somehow where he has the character just blah, blah, blah about what's going on. And so many of the writers that write for the trade, like G. Willow, she's getting into this mythology stuff, they don't bring you up to speed when you're reading it. So if you don't have a very sharp memory and you can remember what happened after the 60 other books or 100 other books that you've read, you're not going to remember. And then it takes you sometimes 3/4 of the book where you start going, oh yeah, okay, I'm starting to remember what was going on. And that's never good.
There's an art to writing a single issue that's part of a larger tapestry where that issue has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So it's got some semblance of completeness in and of itself, if not the full bigger picture arc, at least a subplot or something.
Yeah.
But there's also that art to writing that longer narrative to where, you know, it's like a TV show. The individual episodes got to have enough of beginning, middle, and end to have payoff. Even the acts between a commercial break have to have enough of a beginning, middle, and end to feel that, okay, this is about where they ought to do a commercial break.
Exactly. So that's been a real rub with me with like, and you know, the every issue should be someone's first issue.
Yeah.
Maybe their last issue. I should be able to pick up issue 3 and know what's going on. And I feel like 90% of the books, I'm lost. And that hits DC harder than Marvel because they don't have that recap page, I think. Well,
I think part of it's the recap page, but part of it is they're tending to write a little bit more the Netflix model where they're expecting you to binge everything.
And I'm not doing that, and you're not doing that.
Exactly.
And so that's breaking the model, I feel. That's where I feel the most disconnect with the entire DCU is I can't get into the flow.
That's not where I feel the most disconnect from DC, but it is a place where I do feel disconnect.
Yeah, yours is the characters and where they're going.
For me, it's the continuity and the complete lack of direction.
Yeah. Now, hey, one thing I was going to tell you with my next thing, how I kind of tended to pick books, I put another grouping of five. I said, here's things that I kind of stick with regardless of what's going on because I feel like I need to be in there to know DC. Justice League is key. I feel like that's the big team book, and that's something you need to read.
Certainly of late, it's been filling the role of an event title.
Batman is traditionally the biggest seller at DC. I did not like Tom King's Batman, but I bought every issue because I felt like I needed to read it. Superman and action, I think, are key because it's the very first superhero book, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And I figured like they go hand in hand usually. The next I would say is like Flash, because Flash tends to be a focal point for the big things like crisis and big events that happen. And then I put in another category, like other things that spin off from Justice League and Batman, you know, how much I'm liking them, like a detective or things like that. Well, you know, key Justice League characters, if they're well written well.
If you look at what I have in that green category for me, most of it is Justice League titles or characters.
Yeah, exactly. The core.
I mean, the places where you get the furthest afield from that would be Legion of Superheroes, which you could argue is a future version of a Justice League sort of a title.
Correct.
Nightwing, which is just a favorite character of mine, and Young Justice.
Correct.
But everyone else, from Shazam, Supergirl, Superman, Hawkman, Flash, Batman, and stuff, are all core Justice Leaguers at times.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because we almost picked the same things, but we came up different methods to pick those things. But we're kind of agreeing with a lot of the things here.
Yeah. No, I see that too. For me, the ones in that yellow category, like Terrifics, Teen Titans, and Red Hood, some of them, it's like they just don't know the tone, style, and direction of these properties.
Yeah.
I mean, the Teen Titans we're getting now is virtually completely disconnected from past versions of the Teen Titans.
I would agree. And one thing I was enjoying, it was Adam Glass who was writing it, and he's coming off the book now.
Yeah, that's part of why the book got in the category it did, is if the new writer comes on, it may get into the green. If it, one that I don't like or take, you know, I don't like comes on, it may go into the red.
Yeah, that puts it like in a danger zone for me, because when they have that switching of the creator, I've actually dropped a few books based on the tone or direction of the writer. You know, if they would have stuck a writer that I really dislike, it's probably gone.
Well, note one of the books that's not in the green category, ironically, because it's not on the list at all, is Green Lantern.
That's true. It's not on my list either.
That was one where I just didn't care for the take they did when, I guess it was Grant Morrison, took over. And I'd been loving all the Green Lantern books for years.
Yeah, I bought all of Geoff Johns' stuff in the Blackest Night Omnibus and all his Omnibi. I was reading the Venditti run. It was my favorite DC book, you know, before, you know, Bendis came over and was writing Action and Superman. I was all about Green Lantern. It changed Grant Morrison, and I dropped it after the first six issues.
That was another title I'd been getting literally for decades that it's like, you know what? I don't need to keep getting.
Yeah, it was just – it wasn't speaking to me. And what's weird is I think you can be one of those cryptic, deep writers, which he seems to want to be. Another writer like that, I guess, on the Marvel side would be like a Hickman. But depending on how cryptic and how accessible you make it, it's either going to make someone really like it and want to read more, or you're going to turn people off. And he completely turned me off.
There's cryptic and there's leaving the story off the page.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I feel when Grant Morrison goes astray, that's what he does, is he doesn't give us the full story. We're just supposed to piece it together.
Yeah, and people say, oh, well, if you read it long enough, it all comes together. But I don't want to wait 3 years for it to come together.
I'm not going to maintain the story momentum that long, particularly if it's something that I'm having to piece together. And as somebody who's got a deep knowledge going back decades on the DC universe, if I'm having that much trouble piecing together the story, I think it falls into a definition of a bad story.
I would agree. Yeah. So it that one kind of depressed me because, like I said, it was one of my favorites. And the other one that I noticed is not on your list and it's kind of depressing me is Aquaman, which was one of my favorites when I first came into DC.
Aquaman I was enjoying when that one started up. But
in Agnet.
Actually, it was Jeff Johns when it first started.
Jeff Johns. Oh, yeah, okay. And then,
but I've been reading that for decades from Peter David, even well before that and stuff. That one is on the red category, kind of through a technicality. I'm sampling issue 56 whenever that comes out. And again, we're recording this early, so by the time this episode comes up, maybe it has come out. But when he got amnesia and stuff, I'm like, if he doesn't remember who he is, why should I?
Yeah, that completely turned me off, that whole storyline. And I kept reading and reading, and I'm like, finally, he's starting to get his memory back. But at the same time, Kelly Sue's Aquaman started off really, really, really rough and has gotten a little bit better over time. But I would, for me, it's like in that yellow category for you.
Well, it's one of the things that I think is going to be a challenge for DC as far as me reading them goes, not that they care. But now that I'm off certain books like Aquaman, like Green Lantern, it's going to take some effort to get me back on those titles.
Yeah, and how could they do that? Is it this 5G thing? Is it what do they need to do? Is it just change the writer and we're changing the direction, reset?
It's not even a matter of changing the writer or artist, although certainly in some cases I think that is necessary, Green Lantern being a case. But it's the take on the title, because they went from having only read an issue or two of the Morrison Green Lantern stuff, because I did sample it recently when they did the crossover with other Green Lanterns, it was cryptic, I didn't like the art, I didn't like the procedural take, and it was almost wacky, not wacky, but out there for the sake of being out there.
That's what I felt. It's just crazy out there.
All
no
of which are reasons for me not to get a title.
Yeah.
Now, there are going to be some people listening and think, oh, but if it's a good story, isn't that enough? Well, those are things that, in my definition of a good story, aren't in there. And for me, a good story is one that acknowledges the past of the character, has things happen to the character that matter in some way, shape, or form, and there are consequences to those things.
I can agree with everything you just said.
So when you've got Aquaman, who's suddenly getting amnesia so they can do a blank slate approach to the character, well, they're disregarding the past. Those things have no consequence. Maybe it's a good story, but it's no longer the character I want to read.
Yeah. I didn't like that story at all. The whole time he had amnesia, it was horrible. And the weirdest thing is they did the exact same thing with Nightwing around the same time.
Mm-hmm. And that one is still on my list, and I'm enjoying it because it's well written, even if it's not the direction I want them to go.
Yeah.
But that's also one where I think Nightwing has such a unique and important place in the DC universe that they have to bring him back at some point.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, same here. I'm disappointed they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Nightwing was one that I was trying to stay on, and it was the team of Nightwings that drove me away. So I keep reading the solicits, and as I see the team members still there, I don't buy it. But I figure once the Nightwing team is gone, just because that was not doing it, I really didn't like it, I'm probably going to start reading it again.
So it's as if there's a radioactive element that you're waiting for the half-life to just wear off so you can get back to the book.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
It's funny because at one point at San Diego, I had a discussion with an editor of DC and talking about a particular character. And he basically, yeah, we're waiting for the radiation to kind of die off on that because they'd done some stuff that didn't click with the audience for whatever reasons. And they just needed to wait a little time before they could kind of try again.
Yeah, otherwise it's literally a reboot, and they can't do that in the middle of the stream.
They have many times in many titles, so, and that's, again, part of what's turning me off on some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they fix it, because I think right now, like you said, leadership change would do wonders.
I think it's more than just a leadership change. I think it's a matter of a company creative vision. And this is not just who's the chief creative officer. It's a matter of who and what is, say, Superman. What is his role in the universe? What is our take on this character from a philosophical point of view? Is he a father? Is he not? Is he married? Is he not? Is he the elder statesman? Is he the new up-and-coming hero? Is he just the personification of all that's good and right in the world? Whatever it is, be consistent to that.
Exactly, because you can write good stories around that with that person and put them into precarious positions where it tests that, tests who they are. And that, you know, but right now it seems like a lot of the characters, they take them and they switch them, which has been frustrating to you. You take the Flash and you make him completely not who he is when Tom King did that run.
Batman, you mean?
Or Batman, I'm sorry. Well, Batman, when he did that run, and also with Flash, the Flash Forward, and what was it called? Flashpoint? No, what was the Flash series where he killed the people?
Well, that was Heroes in Crisis. That was the Wally West Flash versus the Barry Flash. The fact that you've got two Flashes running around doesn't help.
Yeah, I'm like, which, I'm trying to remember. It's the Wally West Flash is now an evil Flash, or not an evil Flash, but almost a PTSD Flash because of what happened.
Yeah, well, and that's one of those things where when you've got two different versions of a character going concurrently, there's just a bit of an identity crisis, pardon the pun, kind of going on there. When you say the Flash, it's like, I'm thinking one, you're thinking another. But also, I think the Wally West Flash is one of the things that best epitomizes what I think is wrong at DC in terms of direction. They got rid of him for New 52 and introduced a different Wallace West. Okay, not crazy about that, but fine, we can deal with that. In comes Rebirth, and they bring back the original Wally West. They bring the Titans back for a little bit, then they kind of shoot them off to the side. They kill a couple of other kind of lesser Titans and whatnot, and really damage the character of Wally West in Heroes in Crisis, so they can do this flash-forward thing that, to me, is more of a roller coaster ride than maybe a character-based story. And it leaves me wanting for kind of the yesteryear of DC.
Yeah. I in the Flash Forward series, I haven't been enjoying it that much.
To me, the art style is a little loose, and the writing has this loose take on continuity and story, and just kind of is rushing from place to place.
Yeah, and it seems like they're not trying to repair the damage that was done, so I guess that's going to stick going forward, which is not really what I expected.
No, it's not what I expected, nor what I want.
Yeah, so... who knows? I guess, well, Tom King really has changed Batman, has really changed Wally West going forward.
Now, are you reading Terrifics?
I dropped off of it, actually. I think I read the first 12 to 18 issues. I can't remember exactly.
Okay, so you dropped off within the last arc or two.
Yeah, like a couple arcs ago, I would say. Yeah.
That's only at about issue 22 as we record this.
Yeah, I probably dropped off right around 12 is what I would guess.
Oh, okay.
Now.
So you stayed for the first two or whatever.
Yeah.
It started as a straight-up superhero kind of science adventure-y kind of a book. Nice, clean art style with almost a Fantastic Four-ish take.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that.
Now it's got a much more almost cartoony, loose art style and a almost wacky, I almost want to say Deadpool-type storytelling style.
That's something I really would not enjoy, because Deadpool usually doesn't do it for me.
It doesn't have quite that humor, but it's got that wackiness in terms of nonsensibility of, you know, they've got this thing going on where there's a time manipulation thing going on, so suddenly they're in the style of the 60s or the 70s or something.
That really doesn't do it for me. Yeah, so are you enjoying it now, or this yellow category?
Yellow category. This is why.
When it first started, I did like it. And then I saw with, I think the solicits, they were changing who the writer was. I can't remember who the original writer was. But when they switched the writer to whoever it is, that's when I was like, I think I've had enough of this title.
But it's easy to blame the switch of the writer. If you go back to, you know, like the 80s or whatever, it felt like a time, or let me phrase it. It's not that it felt like at the time, but if you go back, you could look at who wrote various consecutive issues of, say, Justice League. And it seemed like it was a rotating thing. But it felt like it was a consistent writing team because
yeah,
they had
a
similar take on the property.
They didn't just take it in a totally different direction usually. Now you're really gambling when you have a change of writer.
Exactly.
And that's kind of scary.
So that to me is where I don't blame the shift in talent. I blame a little on the editorial thing, but it comes down to the lack of solid creative vision at a company level as to where to go, even with a property that's, what, 2 years old?
Yep, 2 years old.
And it's already lost direction.
That's not a good sign. Now, so what's the stuff that you're, it's either ending or you're done with?
Okay, so I've got quite a few things here. Let's start with the two that, the first three. Aquaman, I'm just sampling an issue. It had a done-in-one story. I figured, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Batgirl and Batman and the Outsiders, both of these, and maybe it's the Batman and the Outsiders is the one I was thinking is the Outsiders take, and maybe Detective. I'd have to check what's... Detective is a Batman title. See, this is where the whole identity of what's going on in the book is so confused. Detective, I think, is safer in the category it's in, because that's where they're doing all the freeze stuff. That's right. Anyways, Batgirl and Batman and the Outsiders, both of them I'm planning on dropping. Batgirl after issue 43, and Outsiders, Batman and the Outsiders after issue 9. Batman and the Outsiders, I'm not crazy about the art style. It's not bad. It's okay. It's not a bad read, but it's peripheral and not urgent to read, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I'm not getting that either.
Batgirl is fine, but it's off in its own little corner, and there doesn't seem to be any lasting kind of repercussions of what goes on in that title.
Batgirl, I really enjoyed, and when they changed to the writer again, they went to Cecil Castellucci or something like that, I quit getting it.
For me, it's a matter of
I read the first two books. I didn't like it.
Are these stories going to matter?
And they don't.
Yeah. And that is a big problem.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I need more out of the books than they're giving me.
That makes, I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, you're not getting any of the Giants. I'm not getting the Giants. Are you?
Actually, there's one that I'm getting.
Oh, you're getting the Crisis on Infinite Earths, right?
I'm getting the Crisis on Infinite Earths one.
Okay. Originally, I got the Swamp Thing Giants, I think. Let me look. Yeah, I am getting the Swamp Thing Giant because I ordered that one by accident because I didn't have a lot of Swamp Thing stuff. I just wanted to read it. And it ended up being Mark Russell. I was like, oh, I'll keep getting it.
For me, we cut the Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant onto the list. And because it's a finite series of two issues, as far as I know, it's in the red category. Is because it's tying into the Crisis on Infinite Earths from the TV shows, as well as reprinting some of the classic Crisis on Infinite Earths comic.
Yeah. Now, is Catwoman in your red?
I got maybe an issue or two of Catwoman. I've been off that title for a long time.
Yeah, it hasn't been very good.
Yeah, that was one that I sampled an issue or two, didn't care for it, and said, you know what? I don't need to read this.
And it really, it's weird because it feels like it doesn't impact the DCU, even though it should with everything that's been going on in Batman.
Yeah, yeah. And that, to me, is problematic.
Yeah.
And I think they need to have a balance of the titles standing on their own, which is important, and playing into the bigger picture of the DC universe.
I agree.
So the next group of titles I've got in this category of red are all one-shots.
Oh, okay, one-shots.
The Batman Pennyworth RIP, Leviathan Dawn, the Robin 80th Anniversary 100-page Spectacular, Superman Heroes, Superman Villains.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm getting most of those. One thing, you're not getting, trying to remember what the name of it was. There was a Harley Quinn with the Birds of Prey. Is that like a little three-issue series? You're not getting that?
There was a three-issue series. There might have been a one-shot that had a similar name or whatever. I'm not getting any of those.
Okay, I have no idea. I've never read The Birds of Prey. Harley Quinn usually gets kind of corny. I didn't know if you're going to be getting that or not.
I considered it, but it was a black label one, which was not in its favor for me. And it was overpriced or something, and they solicited, then canceled, then resolicited, and it was confused with this other thing. And it's like, it got to where it was frankly too much trouble for something I was only mildly interested in.
Yeah, it's $6, and which means it's probably going to be one of those big magazines. So it's like 2/3 of the black label stuff comes out like a magazine, but another third of it comes out in comic format, and I don't understand why.
I'm not sure that the other format the other one in comic format is the same series.
Oh no, I'm just saying like the titles from black label.
Oh yeah, the black label stuff is just inconsistent.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I don't know why some of them come out in comics and some are magazines, but they like to do that for some reason. Some are big, some are small. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think DC is lost whatever knowledge they had about branding at some point.
Okay. Suicide Squad, is that in your red?
Nope.
Oh.
Decided to skip on that one as well.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So it's gone.
Yeah, they draw. I got through issue 50 or whatever, and I'd been getting that title since the current villain, recruitment take on it had happened back in what, the 80s or 90s.
Okay, one other one I don't remember if I heard is Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. Is that gone too?
That's a finite series.
Oh yeah, that only goes through 12. That's correct.
So that next group of titles I've got here are all ones that even if I wanted to continue them forever, I can't because they're going to end. In this category, I've got Batman Curse of the White Knight, The Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant we talked about, Dial H for Hero, Far Sector, Flash Forward, Freedom Fighters, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, Lois Lane, Metal Men, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, Titans Burning Rage, and Wonder Twins. Again, we're recording this early. By the time this episode goes up, a few of those might have even completed by now. Probably like Freedom Fighters.
Yeah, Freedom Fighters I think will be done.
But if it wasn't one where, you know, I'm halfway into the series, I may as well just write it out. Jimmy Olsen might have gone into the yellow.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm actually doing more of my cuts there. But something I've noticed from both of the publishers, and I think it's because people do tend to cut a little bit more and to stop the attrition, it seems like both the publishers, and when I say publishers, Marvel and DC, I'm not talking about everyone out there, they're moving more and more titles to, they'll have a lot of one-shots. They have a lot of 3, 4, 5 issue, 6 issue miniseries to almost generate those new number ones and the fresh restarts. So people are jumping back on continually. Are you seeing that?
Absolutely. And it's backfiring for them because that's why I'm not getting, say, Suicide Squad and a few of these other things.
Yeah. Because it is a little bit frustrating that Marvel's worse at it than DC, but Marvel doesn't necessarily call the majority of them miniseries. DC kind of does. Marvel just turns them into miniseries when they cancel them after two years or a year.
Every time they give a jumping off point, I'm assessing, do I want to go to that next version of the title or not?
Yeah. Now, one thing I am getting from DC that you are not getting, but is actually written excellent, is the entire Joe Hill collection, the horror books. They're top notch, but the other Vertigo stuff, other than The Last God, I'm not reading any of the like Books of Magic or Lucifer or anything like that, but I am reading all of the horror books from Joe Hill Productions, and I'm reading The Last God. That's the only other Vertigo book I'm reading.
Good to hear they're doing some good stuff in that area. I don't read horror.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't read it. That's just something that I do with DC that they're doing a really good job with it. Now, did you finish all yours on your list?
That's everything I got. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put, I don't know if this is mean. I don't mean it to be mean, but I put like a little red flag on certain writers that I tend to steer away from. And they has to be something I like.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I just see them coming out with a new book, I'm probably not going to be on it.
Well, and to be clear, what you're saying there is not that these are bad writers, but these are writers that you personally don't enjoy.
Yeah, they don't resonate with me usually. It's like 50-50 or less.
And there's nothing right or wrong about that. It's good to know what you like and why, and if there's a writer that just is pushing the buttons in the wrong way, yeah, stay away from them.
Yeah, my list is Steve Orlando, Simon Spurrier, Jimmy Palmiotti, Grant Morrison, and Dan DiDio.
I can understand that.
That's my list of – they're really on shaky ground. I mean, Jimmy Palmiotti tends to do the silly, over-the-top, corny stuff. You know, Steve Orlando, it's really 50-50. I started with Martian Manhunter, and then he lost me in it. So it's just those writers and Grant Morrison, it's just cryptic in not a fun way.
The only stuff I'm getting from Orlando right now is Wonder Woman, and that's on my Do I Keep Getting or Not list. And they switch with 750 to Vita
Ayala.
That's
actually, I'm going to tell you this. Do you know Vita Ayala? Have you read anything? I don't know if it's a him or her.
Don't recognize the name. That's not to say I haven't read anything.
Okay. That person, like I said, don't know if it's a him or he or she, is writing Morbius, the living vampire over at Marvel, and I have been pleasantly surprised. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Okay, interesting.
So I'm going to stick on it if Vita's taken over because their writing has been good for me.
Certainly, I've got stuff pre-ordered through issue 754, I think, at this point. This, again, goes to DC lacking planning and direction.
Yeah.
After 750, they had gone back to issue 85 and 86. They've retroactively renumbered those to 751 and 752.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the entire irony of skipping over Wonder Woman 84, the year a movie entitled Wonder Woman 84 comes out is also just ironic, but hey, 750, I get it. I don't know. They just didn't do their planning.
Yeah. Hey, I put some other notes on my list here I was going to tell you about.
But before we get to that, Dan DiDio is one you mentioned, is one you avoid. I am getting Metal Men from him.
Oh, okay, I'm not getting Metal Men anymore. I read that first one and it was fine. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that. But I think that's the only stuff I'm getting from those writers you kind of mentioned.
Yeah, they're kind of on my no-go zone, my no-fly list.
Yeah, there are a couple where it's just if they stop working for you, stop getting them. But if there's also, conversely, ones that really work for you, you pay more attention to it.
Yeah, I really do. So I tend to look at the creators a little bit, and when I see them switching and stuff, it kind of sets off my little radars every now and then. My antennas go off. Uh-oh, what's going on here? A good thing.
One of the things I do when I get the order form from Cowabunga every month is I've got another spreadsheet that's got, here's what I'm getting. So it can go and highlight the new comics so I can take a look at, well, I haven't been getting it before because it didn't exist before, but also can kind of do a rough draft of my order. And what I really ought to do is have it highlight creative team changes.
How do you do that with your spreadsheet? You build something on the back end, right?
I build something in Excel with a Visual Basic for Applications macro where I've got the database I do for my number crunching, so I've got some other stuff there. So I can pull from the master data file the creative teams, the series codes, and a few other things, so I can easily associate, they may have misspelled the title or spelled it differently this year than they are this month than last month. Maybe it's Curse of White Knight versus Curse of the White Knight sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then I know here are the titles I'm getting, so I can just go through and highlight it.
Yeah, one thing that I need to send you my order list so you can do all that for me. Now, what the one thing I was going to tell you about, okay, annuals seem to matter more at DC, so if I'm reading the series, I will get an annual. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm reading Flash or Batman, they tend to tie into what's going on a little bit more. A weird thing that I did at the very beginning, I always got the cover Bs. Now that they've started charging the dollar extra for some artists, those I tend to stick with the cover A, but if it's a normal price, I usually go with cover B just to see the different thing. I avoid the kids' trades, the DC Inc. I avoid Sandman books. I avoid most one-shots other than the annuals, like when there's a one-shot of this or that. Other than Leviathan, I'm getting that one by Bendis. Yeah, I'm all in the Joe Hill books, which I told you about. And then I tend to give new things an arc unless I really hate it, and then I'm off by issue 2 or 3, depending on when the Cowabunga order has to be in.
Yeah, I think when the order has to be in versus what I've read certainly factors in. And there are times when this is part of why I try to stay current on my reading.
Yeah.
You know, and when I'm not current and it's time to do an order, there are going to be a couple of things like, yeah, I don't know. Like anything that would, if I were behind on my reading and I had to fill in an order, I would go through these things that are kind of, and this time I formalized it, but I usually know what's in that yellow category of, I don't know. And I'd make a point of trying to catch up on those books if I can. To make an informed decision, particularly if I look at the solicit and it says it's like a new arc and there's a good break point in what I'm getting.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So I'm hoping DC gets more books on my pull list in the future. It's just I'm not all in. I'm about 50% is what I would guess, maybe 60%. Some things I'm not trying out, like I didn't get the Amethyst thing that just started up. The Green Lantern season 2, I didn't even try it because I haven't been enjoying it. So I'm just hoping that some of these things get fixed in the future because overall, I do enjoy the core of DC. I'm not as familiar. It's not my bread and butter and it's not my comfort space, but when it's written well, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I skipped Amethyst. I skipped, what was the other one you just mentioned?
Green Lantern season 2.
Yeah, Green Lantern season 2. But it's interesting because Far Sector from the Wonder Comics imprint is a Green Lantern title, but sufficiently disconnected, and I'm liking that. That may be what gets me back into, if they were to redo the main Green Lantern book, which I don't see happening anytime soon, but that at least gets me back into that franchise in some way.
Yeah, believe it or not, I didn't read the Far Sector because I remember it was like supposed to be like one of the younger comics, but I've heard so many good things that I'm going to probably pick it up and trade later on.
Didn't we review one of those issues?
I don't think we did we?
I thought we reviewed the first issue.
maybe we did. Oh my gosh. If we did, I think we did. Oh my gosh. I did read it. Oh, we did. We did. We reviewed it and I enjoyed it. I did not pick it up. So I was redoing a digital copy. I remember now.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yes. I'm sorry. We did review it. And I remember now. That's how great my memory is. That's why I need the recap page. I'm getting old.
To me, that's endemic of the quality of a book. Even if you enjoy it, you didn't enjoy it in a way that made you think, I have got to pick this up.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to read it in trade just because I've heard it's been so good. And I did enjoy that first issue that we reviewed.
Yeah. And believe me, I've been there on the other side where it's like, I've never read this. And I've actually had Drew call me out once or twice and say, hey, we reviewed this a couple of years back.
You're like, son of a gun.
It happens.
Eh, it just happened to me.
Yeah, and again, there's so much stuff coming out, it's hard to keep track of all of it.
It is, and especially if it's something I'm not actually pulling, you know, and getting copies of every month.
But for me, the thing that this exercise kind of underscored is there's only, like, about a dozen titles that are firmly on my pull list, probably under if I take Shazam and Supergirl out. That's not a good place for DC to be.
It's not, because you, I would say, are their core customer. Since you've been with them for so many years, it's your favorite publisher traditionally. If I was DC, that would kind of scare me a little bit.
I fell into, up till 2 years ago, the category that in many industries would have been referred to as the whale. This is a term from like casinos and stuff. This is the big spenders. These are the people that, you know, you comp the room, you do this stuff because you make a lot of money on.
Yeah.
I don't expect DC to go to that level or whatever, but for me to have gone from that to what I might be getting a year from now versus what I'm getting now, we could say, yeah, there's a dozen titles I'll definitely probably be getting. If, in other words, if everything just played out the way it is playing out now, which is kind of silly, because you know something's going to replace Freedom Fighters, you know something's going to replace the Lois Lane and Metalman titles, etc.
Exactly.
But if they're not to my liking, I could be down to like a dozen titles at DC.
That's another law. Exactly. And so they're losing more and more market share at that point. So there's a lot of danger with having short limited series. If people aren't liking your core books and what you're putting out new, people aren't jumping on in large numbers.
Even if they come out with stuff that I love over the course of the next year and stuff, they still have to get me to look at those titles and to say, yes, I want them.
Yeah. You want to know what? Something that is on your yellow section is really worrying to me, because I'm feeling the same thing as The Detective, which I feel like is a core book to DC. It's like where Batman originated.
That was in the green that I thought I was going to move to yellow, but as I realized there actually was a Batman in the Outsiders book, I realized I was confusing it with Detective.
Oh, okay. So Detective's not going yellow.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's still on my pull list, but it's been okay. It hasn't been great. It's just been okay for me.
And part of it comes down to, with Tom King being off Batman, what does the Batman franchise become moving forward? You know, any of these things could change very easily over the course of, you know, the future. But the fact that I had confused the Detective Comics and the Batman and the Outsiders book as just a peripheral Team Batman book, which Detective had been at one point before going back to being a Batman book, shows how they have really messed up the branding and the identity of a lot of these titles.
They messed it up a bunch.
You know? And they've done sufficient damage to my reading habits for their books that even if they come out with some of these giants and they're brilliant, I've already written most of them off.
And that's a scary proposition. Like I said, like it's very weird to me, because to hear it from you, I remember you were just like slightly mortified when you heard, wow, James has been reading comics for years and years, but he never really sampled DC. And you were just like, it hurt your heart. And now to hear you making those cuts, it's like just kind of shocking.
Well, it's funny, because I remember hearing this, I believe in person, from Mark Wade at San Diego 1 year, talking about, you know, the DC stuff. And he's like, well, that's not my Superman.
Yeah.
And it's like, I intellectually understood it then, but I emotionally understand it now, and not with Superman in particular. I like the Superman, but let's face it, the Superman we're getting from Bendis is not the same Superman in a very literal sense that we had like 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's a completely different Superman,
which is a different one than we had. A decade prior, which might have been the one Mark Waid was talking about at the time.
Very true.
And then you go back to, you know, some other stuff that's come out of late, and there's this sign that DC is acknowledging that they're going to keep updating and revamping because that's just the way things happen in comics. And there's a way to update and revamp your characters like Marvel has kind of done. Well, yeah, they fudge what war Iron Man started in and where some of these characters met in the past and stuff like that. And that slides. But they're the same version of the characters that are contemporary.
Exactly. The only thing that really updates is maybe the costumes, maybe the voice a little bit with the writer, but the continuity and who they are never really changes that much.
I mean, it gets a little trickier when you've got World War II characters.
Exactly.
So Cap's been in ice a little longer, you know, Namor had amnesia a little longer, you know, things like that. But it's not like they've got to upend the entire universe as DC has done in story, in fairness, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Now,
I'll never forget.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. As I say, I'll never forget what they did with that old Superman, too. It was kind of shocking.
Yeah, so the way they swapped out Supermans was disappointing, not just in how they did it, but the stories they told for the next year and then how they kind of brushed that aside as literally as if it never happened.
Yeah, literally vaporized off the page. It never existed. And that was – I was just surprised that they went that route. So it's gone.
Yeah, but then the relationship the replacement Superman had with Batman and Wonder Woman was a huge focal point for about a year. And then they hand-waved that away as if it never happened.
Yeah, so that is very weird. That's something that you don't see a lot of, I would say, over at Marvel.
Well, it's something you shouldn't see ever anywhere. If they bother to publish it, they should acknowledge it and stick with it. Now, they may tell another story that says, you know, what we thought happened didn't happen exactly how we thought it did, but we did publish it and we acknowledge that.
Exactly.
That's where I think they've gone astray. And they're doing some things now that, again, like the Nightwing stuff, we know Dick Grayson will be back as Nightwing at some point.
When, we don't know, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, at some point, somebody's going to either be in power at DC, be editor on the book, or be writer on the book that grew up loving the new Teen Titans era, and it's like, we got to have the original Nightwing back. That's just how it's got to be. And at some point, we may get somebody else who grew up and really loved having read the Kryptonian Nightwing story, so they're going to go with that kind of a take, or they grew up with the era of Superman, where his adopted son Chris took over the Nightwing name for a bit. And that's how Nightwing really ought to be. Pendulums swing back and forth once you introduce those kinds of seismic changes to the characters.
Exactly.
You know, there's going to be a version of Shazam that goes back to the more classic version, and then eventually it'll swing back to the current take, because, well, that's what people grew up with the movie or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw that movie, by the way, and I did enjoy it.
I still haven't watched it. It's on the list. I hope to watch it soon.
Oh, okay. It kind of reminded me of the Shazam comic a little bit that we have right now.
Yeah.
Not the same, but similar.
But it's different than the classic Shazam stuff we'd gotten prior to...
very, very different.
You know, Rebirth or New 52.
Exactly.
Really, that take was almost introduced in Flashpoint.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's weird. I don't know. I think there should be some more respect for the history over at DC, where they came from, stay true to who they are. You can alter things that happen to the character, but usually people don't change that drastically from who they are and what their core being is from when they grew up. You know, how you are at age 30 and 40, yes, you're a little bit different, but your same basic beliefs and thoughts and the way you think is the same.
You can evolve a character, but it's when they try to do revolutionary changes that they get into trouble.
Exactly. And they do that a lot.
Even if it works in the short term, in the long term, it's so different than what had gone before that there's a certain inertia or gravity towards the core of the character that, you know, things just keep kind of orbiting around.
Yeah, and I hope they right the ship, and I hope that they get things back to where they should be, and I hope that they don't continue the nonsense, is what I would say.
I agree with that. You know, at this point, I'm looking at what I currently have on order as we record this from DC, and I've got 78 items, and that's covering, you know, a couple of different order forms. That used to be what I would get in, you know, about half this duration of time.
Which is just nuts.
Yeah. And I think they can, I think it is possible to write the ship. That's not to say I think they can write this ship. I think they need to fundamentally rethink who their characters are and get back to what I feel is the core of these characters. They need to rethink their storytelling style to where the single issue is a viable format again.
Yes, please.
And they need to have a consistency of vision and an attentiveness to what they publish before they publish it to make this happen.
Yeah. And if they do that, I think you'll be back on board.
Certainly there's the possibility if they do another kind of line-wide reboot, I'll take a look at what they're offering.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it from a jaded point of view, which is not to their benefit.
Definitely not. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, but this is also why, as we're picking stuff for the Weekly Comic Spotlights, sometimes it's a little harder than it used to be to figure out, well, what are we both getting that we're both excited to review?
Yeah, because there's been some weeks where we literally were emailing back and forth. I'm like, I didn't see anything really. You know, there's this, this, and this, but we kind of reviewed those and we kind of hem and haw over it.
Well, and it's getting to the point where if I've got, you know, I'm getting a half dozen TC books, but I'm not really excited about reviewing any of them.
Let's do a couple Marvel.
Well, that's not a good sign for those DC books.
No, it's definitely not.
And it's not unique to DC. I hit sometimes this with Marvel, whatever. Yeah, I'm getting it, but it's the middle of an arc. It's this, it's that, or whatever. You know, but it ought to be something where, because the titles are accessible, because we're so passionate about them, that we should be fighting over which of these titles we review, not if we review any of them.
Exactly. There should be a plethora. We should be like, oh, this is good, but this one's also good.
It's certainly not a shortage of good characters, good talent, or good stories to be had.
I would agree.
It shouldn't be at least a shortage of that.
Yeah. So we're hoping for this in 2020.
Yeah, hope so. And this, again, gives the listeners a sample of what we're getting from DC and why. Love for them to kind of chime in on, like, the forum or Slack. Actually, this is a discussion I think is better on the forum.
I would agree.
Because it lasts the test of time, whereas stuff does roll off on Slack and whatnot.
I would agree.
But certainly be curious what people are getting, and if there's stuff at DC that they're getting that we're not and they feel we ought to be or other people ought to be, this is what the preview spotlight is for.
Yeah. Tell me why I should be reading it or I probably never will.
Absolutely. So anything else? Are we good?
That does it for me.
Cool. Join us next time as we take a step back and take a look at what we're getting from Marvel and what we think about Marvel these days.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.